A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts. In the sky so blue, the birds are singing, I got nothing to do. Hey, 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 hey. It's a sunny day. Sunny day now. My pocket's empty, my cupboard's bare. But call me illogical, I just don't care. Hey, 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 hey. It's just a sunny day. Hey, 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 it's a sunny day.
The KSL Greenhouse. Information and great talk about your home, garden, and your lawn. If you love perennials, can't get enough help on landscape design, or just want to keep your lawn and vegetable garden pest-free, grab a pen. It's the KSL Greenhouse on KSL News Radio.
And welcome and good morning to the Greenhouse. Welcome to the Greenhouse, and good morning on a Saturday here on KSL News Radio. Maria has the day off. I'm Dave Meekham sitting in, and of course, USU Extension horticulturalist Ton Bettis joining me today. As always, good morning, Ton.
Good morning, sir. How are you?
Doing very well. How's your Saturday?
I am doing the Greenhouse show, so it's good.
Something we've done for literally decades here on KSL.
Yeah, I think when Larry Sager's had, you know, unfortunately stopped doing the show, I think that at that point that it had existed on KSL for 42 years. I'm working on, in November will be my 8th year. And so I think we're almost going to hit 50 years.
It's incredible, you know, but people are always going to garden and there's always going to be questions. And that's why we're here to help you out with your questions. And as such, if you've got one to pose to us, we're here to help. And the number is KSL Talk. That's 575-8255. So give us a call. We'll help you out with your gardening issues. And, Ton, I think what's on a lot of people's mind has been this heat. Just a moment ago, Mark Jackson mentioned it was going to be a toasty 90. But compared to a week ago, that feels nice and cool, doesn't it?
You know, a week ago when I got out of my car walking into stores or just into work, especially in the afternoon, I had not felt heat like that in a long time. You know, just, you know, it's still not Phoenix hot, but still for here, it was oppressively hot. And I noticed a lot of lawns, you know, during this time of year, they turn brown anyway, but were really suffering.
It's been so hot. And if we're suffering, our plants are suffering in some way, right?
They are. The ideal growing conditions for most plants is below 85 degrees during the day and above 55 at night, not 70, 75, and 102 or 103.
Right. In more or less, in a lot of ways, the plants like the same temperatures that we do. They're comfortable when we are.
They do. And, you know, for example, tomatoes ripen at their fastest actually at temperatures around 70 to 75 degrees. And above 75 degrees, the hotter it gets, ripening is actually slowed down.
And so there's a lot of people out there right now with nice, large tomatoes on their plants that are green and no sign of changing.
No sign at all. And so at temperatures of above about 90 or 92, tomatoes pretty much shut down and just sit on the plant because a lot of the chemicals, when I say chemicals, are good, healthy things in the tomatoes like lycopene. The plant can't produce them at temperatures above 90. And so what happens is you have this big, gorgeous green tomato that sits until we're below 90 degrees consistently. And then they start to ripen. And so this is why we get bumper crops of tomatoes in mid to late September is because temperatures are consistently right below 90.
Right. And the good news is the high, I think Mark just said, was forecast for 90 today. So we're kind of back in that realm a little bit. And if that's the case, we may start to see a few of our tomatoes start to ripen.
We may. And so in my garden, I have celebrity tomatoes. At least that's what they were tagged as where I bought them. And I trellised them, and I had to do some traveling and had some 60 or 70 hour work weeks. And just my garden, I left, fortunately, have it on a timer for irrigation, but it got away from me. And so I had some red root pigweed grow about 2 to 3 feet tall before I got to it, but it shaded my tomatoes from the sun. And so right now, I think that due to my neglect, I actually have a lot of ripe tomatoes, to where everyone else I've talked to that have celebrity, their celebrities are mostly just still green.
Kind of a happy accident.
It is. And I'm not recommending people just let red root pigweed go in their gardens, but that shade. And so one of the things that gardeners do, especially, you know, if you're growing at a gardener's market or commercially somehow, is that shade cloth is becoming a thing. And so because we have so much solar radiation, tomatoes and other vegetables grown here will tolerate and actually like having 20 to 30% shade over the top of them. And when you buy shade cloth, it'll tell you the grade and the percent shade that it is. But I've noticed a lot of growing operations are getting tomatoes up to a month sooner because of this shade cloth, allowing those green tomatoes to ripen and allowing the flowers to actually get pollinated. Because the other problem, that above 90 degrees, a flower oftentimes will self-abort and won't form a fruit.
Right. And getting your tomatoes in super early and protecting them, you know, getting them in March with a wall of water, whatever it is, that might get you some tomatoes in the first part of July, but still without that shade or without something to help them along, you're still going to have you'll pick those few ripe ones, then have some green ones just hanging there for weeks while you wait for the temperatures to get back down where they'll ripen again.
And they ripen about the same time as everybody else's tomatoes without that additional shade cloth. Now, there are some varieties that will ripen sooner that are determinant. And so if you go in with walls of water with Oregon Spring or 4th of July, you can get some golf ball size to tennis ball size tomatoes through late June into July, and those will finish up. Mm-hmm. The cherry tomatoes will pick up, but that solid fall, you know, late summer into fall time, those tomatoes, unless you use some shade or something, oftentimes just sit until, you know, that time and it's cool enough for the fruit to ripen.
Yeah, and that's exactly what I'm seeing in my garden. I grow mostly celebrities, and I've got a lot of tomatoes on the plants, but they're all green. At the same time, my sun sugars are ripening up just fine.
Yeah, and on sun sugar, I know that the red ones are ripening too. You know, those plants get so massive that there's a lot of natural shade inside of them.
Yeah.
And so I think that helps them produce, because like my sun sugar right now, I have it trellised, but it's still probably 5 feet wide. And it's like, well, it looks like Cousin It from the Addams Family.
That sounds right.
But, you know, there's so much shade in there that you're getting a lot of tomatoes.
And that sounds exactly right, because the tomatoes that are ripening on my plants are on the lower half of the plant.
Yeah, and that's where the shade is.
Right.
So if you are desperate for tomatoes and your tomatoes are just not ripening, you can go out and look at your big tomatoes and look for the ones that are the closest to ripening. You know, even if they still have green in them, if they look like they were starting to color up, you can pick a few of those, bring them inside, and put them in like a paper bag if you just want 4 or 5. There's some ventilation through that paper, but what will happen is the paper bag will help trap ethylene, and that ethylene will cause them to ripen.
All right. Well, we're going to, I'm sure, talk tomatoes at some other point throughout the morning. But right now it's time to jump out and take a break, Don. But when we come back, we've got callers on the line. Diane, Dorothy, and Greg are all waiting to ask questions. And we're going to come back and answer those questions on the other side of this break here on The Greenhouse Show on KSL.
It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
It's the Greenhouse Show on KSL News Radio. We are here to answer your questions. I'm Dave Meekum, sitting in for Maria Chaleos, and alongside Ton Bettis, of course. And Ton, let's jump out and help some of our folks that are listening right now. Greg is calling in from Sandy, and Greg, you've got a question about your green beans.
Well, how are you guys?
Doing very well.
Such a beautiful day. You know, a little tired of the massive heat.
90 doesn't feel as bad, though, does it?
Well, you know, it's awesome. I've got tomatoes popping everywhere.
Great. So
we're good. Tom, question, are you guys, I bottle the beans. There's nothing better. Can them, pressure cooker. The taste is unbelievable. 4 or 5 beans would get me 20 pints, which keeps me and some family members. I give a few away. This year I was really on top of it because of the virus. And I had a row, I don't know, 15 feet long. They're every foot and a half apart. And these things have grown so beautifully. No birds in them, no nothing. And I'm 11, 12 feet long. I've had blossoms for I don't know how long. And I'm not getting a bean yet. Is that heat? I'm just really concerned.
So, yeah, it can be heat. Just on things that will cause beans not to set fruit, too much water, too little water, lack of pollinators, nutrient deficiencies. But right now, I really suspect it's the heat. You know, along with those green beans, many other vegetables will not set fruit at temperatures above about 85 or 90. And so at that 102 degree temperatures, I literally watched my tomato blossoms open, and then I'd walk out in the evening and the blossoms would be desiccated and falling off the plant, unpollinated. So it's probably the heat, especially if you've been growing beans for years.
That help you out, Greg?
Yeah, I guess that's what we're looking at. So we'll hang on. Thanks.
Patience is sometimes the most ingredient part of gardening, isn't it, Ton?
It is. And in this situation, you know, I hate to have people spend a lot of money, but because by the time you go buy shade cloth for all of your, you know, green beans and tomatoes and peppers, you know, it might be cheaper to just go buy the produce. But the shade cloth will last for years and years. And I've been becoming a bigger and bigger believer in the shade cloths. And it's something I'm going to investigate just so that you can reduce the, you know, why aren't my beans producing? Why are my peppers scorching? You know, and so I think it's something that with how we've just naturally gotten hotter over the last 20 or 25 years, that somebody that is a serious gardener might invest in to actually help ensure their harvest.
Right. And if you get, you know, 2 or 3 weeks of extra production out of your tomatoes over time, that's going to pay for itself.
It really will. And as long as you can eat them, I know a lot of times with, like, especially new gardeners, you know, they don't know that for 2 or 3 or 4 people that 4 or 5 tomato plants is plenty. And so they plant 20 of them. And so we always learn that. But I think that shade cloth.
That's a lesson I've never learned.
Yeah. There's just so many awesome tomato varieties. And you can all, at least in the first part of the season, you can usually give them away. You know, by October, it's almost like zucchini that you have to sneak them into people's cars and things. But yeah, it's one of those things. And so I think shade cloth is going to be something that can be very important into ensuring consistent and earlier harvests and many different crops that ripen during the hot summer.
Interesting. It's something I'm going to take a look at for next year. We're going to take another call here. Let's check in with Dorothy, who's calling in from Provo. Good morning, Dorothy.
Good morning.
How can we help you today?
Well, I have a Satsuma plum tree that I just love, and it sends up volunteers all over the place, and I don't understand the reproducting of these fruit trees, but I just wonder, do any of those volunteers ever grow to be a decent tree that fruits?
Oh, yes. It could take anywhere from 10 to 20 years for a seedling plum to mature enough to start bearing fruit. They won't be Satsumas. They will be a hybrid between the Satsuma and whatever pollinating tree. You know, you have to have another Japanese plum. So they would all be genetically different, but most of those would be decent plums that could be canned and eaten.
These are from seeds. I think they're from the roots.
Well, if it's coming up from the root right at the base of the tree, then that tree's been grafted and they'll come up as something completely not Satsuma plum. And so not knowing the rootstock, I can't tell you whether those will be good or not, but I would have a little more confidence in the seedlings than the rootstock itself.
Well, these aren't just the suckers around the base of the tree. They're out in my garden and out in the lawn.
If they're that far away, they're most likely seedlings, unless you can dig down and find them coming up from a root.
That's what we found, is they're coming from the root.
Okay, and so you do get situations sometimes that the rootstock will sucker profusely, and that usually happens because the graft union wasn't completely compatible. And so you could let one or two go and see what happens and see how it develops, but just not knowing what it's grafted onto, I couldn't really tell you for sure.
Okay, so if somebody really wanted a Satsuma, they should go to the nursery and get one.
Well, Satsumas require cross-pollination. And so even if you planted the seeds from a Satsuma plum, they're just like us. You know, it takes a male and a female to make a baby. And in that tree, you had pollen, which is representative of the male portion, go into an ovary, and that produced a seed. And so the fruit is genetically, you know, Satsuma, but the seed inside, each seed produces a genetically unique Japanese plum.
Okay. All right.
So they're best grown in pairs, it sounds like, Ton, right?
Yes. Yeah, so the Satsuma plum needs a boyfriend.
Yeah.
And there's one somewhere because you're getting fruit. Now, you may get a few, but you greatly increase your yield and size of the fruit when you have a pollinizer that is Japanese plum, but a different variety.
We have a Santa Rosa.
And that's the classic pollinizer for Satsuma.
Okay. Well, we've got one. We'll maybe watch. But I think people need to get their own Satsuma. So thank you so much.
I mean, they're cheap enough at the stores, you know, for between $35 and $50. And you're getting something genetically the same, because we want Satsuma or whatever one it is. And those trees that you would put from that rootstock or the summers would give you plums that were usable, but there's a good chance that they would be inferior to the parent trees.
All right, Dorothy. Well, thanks for your question and a great biology lesson today there, Ton.
Thank you.
We're going to break right now for some news, traffic, and weather. And on the other side of that, we'll be back. We'll take Diane's call. And if you have a question, we'll help you out too, 575-8255 or KSL Talk. If you want to text us, you can do that as well, 575-00. We'll be back after the news on the KSL Greenhouse Show.
Two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless. And I will never understand it. I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.